KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 77 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be partly cloudy here today with a slight chance of showers later this afternoon and a high around 90. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Authorities in Harlan are investigating several incidents of theft. On July the 8th, Tammy Schwartz of Harlan reported the theft of a 2003 GMC Yukon from her driveway. The vehicle was later recovered by the Omaha Police Department with four persons inside. That theft remains under investigation. And Harlan police say several incidents of copper theft have been taken by their department, several reports that is. The thefts were reported on Tuesday, and they remain under investigation. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Listen to the following symptoms. Do they describe someone suffering from hearing loss or from the early stages of Alzheimer's? Anxiety and paranoia.
Alzheimer's disease.
Depression and withdrawal.
Hearing loss.
Reduced alertness and increased risk to personal safety.
Alzheimer's disease.
Confusion and disorientation.
Alzheimer's disease.
Hearing loss.
Actually, you're both right, on all counts. The fact is, many symptoms that might indicate the early stages of Alzheimer's disease or dementia could also point to hearing loss, and a hearing evaluation by an audiologist could relieve some of the worry. Numerous studies have concluded that a comprehensive hearing test should be part of any Alzheimer's assessment, and hearing loss needs to be addressed. Most hearing loss can be managed with hearing aids, and in many cases, the earlier mentioned symptoms improve. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. If you're concerned about the cognitive health of someone you love, don't exclude a hearing evaluation from your search for answers. Call ASI for an appointment with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The water level along the flooding Missouri River in Council Bluffs is holding steady for now, which the town's mayor says is good news in that the fast-moving muddy water isn't doing any more damage. Mayor Tom Hannafin says it remains an around-the-clock battle against the high water.
It's a constant 24-hour-a-day operation, but with no rain right now, it's really helped us get through some tough times and get some things done.
Hannafin says he's overwhelmed with the response from volunteers who continue to come daily to fill sandbags, which has helped save the city a little money.
We fill every day, count every bag every day, because as we fill them, crews are taking them out and using them for different operations.
He says Council Bluffs has spent about $5.6 million so far fighting the flooding after about 46 days. The mayor says that figure covers personnel, equipment, and outside resources. Levee monitoring is ongoing, and small leaks are being quickly repaired to prevent a major breach and more evacuations. Residents of a Council Bluffs apartment complex are having to move because of concerns about a sewer line. City leaders have told residents of the River Bend apartments to leave because of a growing sand boil that's compromising the line. A malfunctioning private pumping station and sewage line due to groundwater bubbling is causing the concern. According to reports, fixing the problem isn't an option because the work could threaten a nearby levee along the flooding Missouri River. About 70 families are affected. Some are moving to a nearby apartment complex or staying with friends, while others are staying at a Red Cross shelter. The state's emergency management commander has been criticized as missing in action during part of the fight against flooding here in western Iowa. Woodbury County Emergency Management Director Gary Brown told the Des Moines Register that the absences of Derek Hill have delayed aid requests and slowed flood-fighting efforts. Woodbury and five other western Iowa counties have been declared federal disaster areas. Brown said of Hill, quote, "He's been gone a lot." Hill is administrator of the Iowa Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. He rejected the criticism and says he's been in close contact with his staff whenever he's been away. On Monday, Hill began an eight-day Arizona vacation, and he spent nearly 8 days on duty with the Iowa National Guard since June the 1st. Officials are starting to think about what it will take to clean up the flood damage around the Fort Calhoun nuclear power plant and get it running again once the Missouri River recedes. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has scheduled a July 27th meeting with Omaha Public Power District officials to talk about Fort Calhoun's recovery. Much of the nuclear plant, about 20 miles north of Omaha, remains surrounded by floodwaters, but the plant itself remains dry inside, and Fort Calhoun will stay shut down until after the flooding eases sometime in the fall. Regulators will meet with utility officials at Omaha's downtown DoubleTree Inn. Businesses impacted by flooding in 14 Iowa counties can now apply for low-interest disaster loans of up to $2 million from the U.S. Small Business Administration. SBA spokesman Richard Jenkins says the loans are intended to offset economic losses because of reduced revenues from flooding.
Small businesses,
small agriculture cooperatives, businesses that may be aquaculture, and most private nonprofit organizations who are suffering economic losses because of either reduced revenues caused by the flooding can now apply for economic injury disaster loans from SBA. What that means is we can provide them the working capital they need to continue to pay their bills.
Jenkins says the loans are for non-farm businesses, though farms and ranch owners impacted by the high water can contact other agencies.
USDA handles farmers and ranchers. SBA covers all of the dependent businesses of farmers and ranchers and other businesses like Main Street businesses that have either been impacted by the agricultural production losses as a result of the flooding, or even if their business has been directly impacted by the disaster, we can now offer those small businesses up to $2 million to help them pay their bills.
Jenkins says the loans have an interest rate of 4% for businesses and 3% for private nonprofit organizations. They try to determine eligibility as quickly as they can to get the money into the hands of those who need it to make ends meet.
Typically, we can get a decision on an economic injury disaster loan in under 3 weeks. They're usually very quick. Some businesses, depending on how they're organized, whether they're a sole proprietorship or a corporation, some we can do very quickly in just a few days. Others a little more complicated, take a couple of weeks. Once you sign the loan documents and return them to us, then we can disperse money right away.
The Iowa counties covered include Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, Pottawatomie, Woodbury, Cass, Cherokee, Crawford, Ida, Montgomery, Page, Plymouth, and Shelby. Across the river in Nebraska, 8 counties are covered by that loan program. Governor Branstad on Thursday approved a proclamation to enact the state Individual Assistance Grant Program. That program will be made available to Iowa residents living in the flood-affected counties of Woodbury, Monona, Harrison, Pottawatomie, Mills, and Fremont. The state Individual Assistance Grant Program provides grants to families with household incomes at or below twice the federal poverty index. The maximum grant a family can receive is $5,000. The program is launched with the governor's declaration and at the request of local officials. Applicants must be legal residents of the U.S., and they need to provide all receipts for replacement items claimed. For an application and instructions, visit Storm Help, that link on the front page of the Department of Human Services website, which is at www.dhs.iowa.gov. More than 3 months after a tornado leveled much of Mapleton in western Iowa, the volunteers are still coming to the rescue. Sioux City's television station KTIV reports that vans full of people are still pulling into town to clean, build, or paint buildings and other property damaged by the twister. No deaths were reported. The tornado was among at least 18 twisters in Iowa that struck on April the 9th. Pastor Katie Newman says her church has been working hard on recruiting and has lined up almost 200 volunteers over the next 6 weeks. Some are coming from across the country, including Devin Anderson. He came from Massachusetts to lend a hand. Anderson says he's just helping with the tornado because he felt bad and thought he could help. Officials of the city of Lewis yesterday announced that it's okay to serve tap water now to infants in the community. Late last week, the city had issued a warning to parents and others who care for infants under 6 months of age about using city water to make infant formula because test results on a sample taken indicated nitrate levels exceeded the acceptable nitrate standard. Nitrate in drinking water is a serious health concern for infants less than 6 months of age. John Martins with the city's water system says the raw water sample was taken from the wrong sample tap, and therefore the results of last week's tests are not valid. He says a confirmation sample of the water taken earlier this week shows the water is safe and is no longer necessary for residents of Lewis and those served by its water system to take precautions about giving water to infants under 6 months of age. Now, the city is working to have the violation it incurred as a result of the first sample invalidated. Officials have apologized for any inconvenience, and they thank residents for their patience while the water supply was being checked for nitrates. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds have scheduled additional town hall meetings across the state focusing on education. The pair want to hear what ideas Iowans have to say about improving the quality of education in the state. The town hall meetings will be held prior to the administration's Iowa Education Summit, which takes place July 25th and 26th in Des Moines. The Iowa Education Summit will focus on increasing teacher and principal effectiveness, raising academic standards, and putting in place strong matching assessments and innovation that increases learning. Here in the KJAN listening area, Branstad and Reynolds will attend a town hall meeting on education in Corning on Friday, July 22nd. The meeting will be held at noon in the Corning Elementary School Gymnasium. That same afternoon, the two Republicans will be in Carroll for a 2 p.m. town hall meeting at the Carroll High School Auditorium. For more information, visit www.governor.iowa.gov. Taking a look at world headlines of this hour, consumer prices fell last month because of a steep drop in gas costs, but Americans paid more for autos and clothes. The Labor Department says the consumer price index fell 0.2% because of the decline in gas, but after excluding volatile food and gas costs, the core prices actually rose 0.3%. That was the second straight monthly gain and the largest back-to-back increases since the summer of 2008. Congressional leaders are asking around today to see if members might be open to the idea of passing one of three deficit reduction options. President Obama has scheduled a news conference for later this morning as a so-called backup option is taking shape in the Senate to extend the government's borrowing authority. There are several developments in the phone hacking scandal at Rupert Murdoch's media empire. News International CEO Rebecca Brooks has resigned, one of the most prominent victims so far. British Prime Minister David Cameron says it's the right decision. And James Murdoch says News International will run advertisements in major British newspapers to apologize to the nation. Finally in the news, the first person to receive an artificial windpipe says he was a reluctant participant. The Eritrean student studying in Iceland says he almost turned down the opportunity, but his doctor and family persuaded him to say yes to the landmark surgery. He had a tumor blocking his windpipe. News time is 8:12.
Helen Keller was asked whether she considered vision or hearing more important. She replied,
"The problems of deafness are deeper and more complex, if not more important, than those of blindness. Deafness is a much worse misfortune. Blindness cuts us off from things. Deafness cuts us off from people. To be cut off from hearing people is to be isolated indeed."
What Helen Keller knew, and what popular thought has often overlooked, is that the human sense of hearing represents the primary cognitive window into life itself. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Imagine standing in a crowded room, everyone engaged in fluid conversation, and feeling all alone. Add denial to advancing hearing loss, and you may find additional psychological symptoms, such as anxiety, frustration, and social paranoia. Since hearing loss is invisible, those around you may be unaware of what you're dealing with. If someone you love is pulling away, schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in our funeral announcements, 59-year-old Robert Bob Harry Stringer Jr. of Menlo died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Bob Stringer Jr. will be today at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. 93-year-old Dorothy M. Callison of Audubon died Tuesday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Dorothy Callison will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. 80-year-old Jacqueline Myshock of Atlantic died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Memorial services for Jacqueline Myshock will be Saturday at 2 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. 93-year-old Carrie Renee Jensen of Audubon died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Carrie Jensen will be Saturday at 2:30 at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. And 46-year-old Gloria Wyrick of Atlantic died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Gloria Wyrick will be Monday at 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.